What's up, guys? Thanks for coming to our Kaafa and Miss You podcast. Here, you will find resources to help you grow in real devotion, real community, and real responsibility, so you can learn to love Jesus, not just for a season, but for a lifetime. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
All right, so tonight we're going to talk about friendship. I'm not an expert on friendship, but I've had the privilege of having great friends to learn from and learning from my mistakes. And so I'm going to give my best shot at explaining what I think is the key to real friendship. Cool? So I'm going to begin by talking about the first time I felt like I had real friendship. Cool? My first day on campus, during Welcome Week, I was walking down the I Mall looking for something to do, like a lot of freshmen, right? And I saw as I got to, or near the Aggie Forest to my right, some dancing going on at the Corbett Outdoor Stage. And to my left, some dudes playing this game called Ultimate Frisbee. A lot of Christians play that game for some reason, I don't know. Now, I had already gave my life to Jesus, and so God told me to go play Ultimate Frisbee, because we all know that college students dancing isn't really dancing. So I decided to go play Ultimate Frisbee, and at that time, I had never really heard of it. Black people don't really play Ultimate Frisbee. At least that was my experience, and so this was sort of a step of faith for me. I had to go meet these people who were playing this game that wasn't preferable for me. Over what I was used to doing in the past. So I walk up to this white Russian dude. Has he been up there all this time? That's him right there. The other ones, Taylor and Lucas, they were my roommates. Man, great memories. And I ask him if I can play. And long story short, I didn't play. Me and Vadim, we hit it off. At least that's what I thought. He says I ghosted him for a little while. But I didn't really ghost him, at least that's what I think. And we hang out occasionally at first, then it becomes like once a week, and then it's like every day. And we did a lot of fun things together, or crazy things, it depends on your perspective. We would hike up really dangerous trails. Like this one time, I was trembling, and Vadim was hurt. His knee had torn his ACL, he just got surgery, and he was trying to follow me up these trails. I was trembling, like shaking. And just like, oh God, like I hope I don't die. Like, just if I slip. Other stuff, we would play Taser Smash Bros. If you don't know what that is, just ask someone and they'll tell you. And then we would also just jump into ice cold pools for fun. Just random stuff like that. Anyway, we got to know each other pretty well. We learned a lot about each other. And I can tell you this, of all the things that I learned about him, it was his love for Jesus that was most significant. Yeah. He allowed me into his life in a way that God used to drastically change my life, the direction of it. He was vulnerable with me about his friendship with Jesus in a real way. He told me what he had. He told me what he and Jesus were talking about the other day, like if Jesus was another person. He told me different things about Jesus' character. He was learning from being with him that blew him away. Or how he corrected him or rebuked him and the feelings that he had after. He even told me about the dreams and visions Jesus was giving him for his future. I mean, everything, practically everything he shared with me was in the context of his friendship with Jesus. He would invite me to go hang out with Jesus with him, which I thought was weird at the time. I was like, what are you, we're gonna have Jesus time together? What is that? The first time I heard of that. But the reason why he did this was because he knew that the only thing that lasts and that has real depth that we could ever share with one another was a friendship with Jesus, if that makes sense. So every one of us shares something with people we are closest to, which makes us have a form of friendship. It might be a sport or school or blood, as in family, someone we may know, fun or exciting memories, all good things. Whatever it is, though, if it's not Jesus, it won't last and it will lack depth. Yeah. What do I mean by this? Well, if something won't last, that speaks for itself, right? But when I say lacks depth, I mean that it won't sit right in here, in your spirit. You can go back to it again and again and again and again and again, but it won't satisfy you. You can live for it your whole life, but at the end of the day, you'll be able to look back and say that that wasn't it. A real friendship with Jesus is it. For everyone. It will last forever, and He is infinitely deep. To be with Him and see and experience His character is inexhaustible. So if we only share things that won't last and lack depth, we only have a form of friendship and not the real thing. When I first fell in love with Jesus, it was in high school. That was it. I was satisfied. But when I found someone who I could share that with in Vadim, I experienced friendship as it was meant to be for the first time. It was only natural when I described my past from then on that I would say I didn't really have friends. It wasn't until Vadim and I shared our love for Jesus with one another, after he initiated that, that we became closer than brothers. We became real friends. And because we shared a love for Jesus with one another, all the things that in and of themselves had their limit, these good things, not bad things, they were put into their proper place, and Vadim and I were able to enjoy those things even more. All right, so is Matt here? Where's Matt? I'm going to ask Matt to come up here, and he's going to read our scripture for us, so give it up for him.
When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made it known to you.
Thank you, Matt. Matt is one of the most friendly guys I know. If you haven't met Matt, oh man, hang out with him or something. All right, so I'm going to pray, and then we can dig in this a little bit deeper, okay? Lord Jesus, I thank you for this privilege to be with my friends, Lord God, and to share with them about what I believe you've put in my heart to give. I thank you that we have real friendship in you, ultimately, Lord, and I just pray that you would speak through me, that you would speak through me, and that you would just build us up tonight. Amen. So Matthew and John here record instances that let us see what the process for real friendship was like in Jesus' mind. From him, we gather that compassion initiated what later became a friendship. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. It was compassion that moved Jesus to action. He saw what we were experiencing and was sorry. Have you ever been moved by compassion? When you see that homeless man on the corner of the street and you have knots in your spirit because of how sorry you are for that person, but you're like, should I go do something? Should I not? I gotta go somewhere. And you just kind of have to like look away because you're like, you kind of getting emotional, maybe tears even. That's the compassion that moved within Jesus to initiate a relationship with us. In heaven, he and the Father saw us and had pity. However, it wasn't until Jesus made known to his disciples everything he learned from his Father that he called them friends. It wasn't until his disciples knew everything that Jesus called them friends. As Matt read, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Sometimes we get it backwards, thinking that I'm going to make a friend, make known to them everything Jesus has made known to me, and then have compassion for them. But Jesus had compassion first, made known to his disciples everything he learned from the Father, and then called his disciples friends. This was my experience with Vadim. Like Jesus had compassion for me, the dean had compassion. Oh, right. Yeah, the dean had compassion for me. He saw that I needed a friend. Sorry. And also, like Jesus made known to his disciples everything he learned from the Father, the dean made known to me everything he learned from Jesus. Compassion initiated what later became a friendship. Are y'all following? Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So with that said, I want us to think about where we are in this picture of real friendship. Because there might be times when we feel like this isn't a reality to us. Like when Vadim left Las Cruces for me, that's how I felt. I had had real friendship with Vadim, but once he graduated and left town, there were moments where it felt hard connecting with other people who loved Jesus in the same way. As I went to large group meetings, I led small group even, and continued to be a part of this wonderful community, there were times where I felt lonely. I would hear messages like this, and after some thought, I would come to the honest conclusion that I didn't really feel the reality of this real friendship. I understood feelings weren't everything, but I thought they should at least generally reflect what was real in my life, right? Luckily, I didn't give up on godly friendships, praise God, because all that I was hearing I knew was real, and it made sense to me still. Some of us here probably haven't thought about whether we feel like we have real friendships or not. So before I keep going, I just want to pause so that we can ask ourselves if we really feel this as a reality in our life. When we are with each other, can we honestly say to ourselves, or to the other person we call friend in this room, that we feel like real friends? Be honest. Sometimes we don't, and it's okay, it'll pass. Don't give weight to your feelings in those cases. But sometimes it can be a sign that there is something off and that there's something not right. Like I said, there were these moments where I felt it was hard to connect with others who love Jesus. Looking back, I realized there are some reasons for that. One reason was that I was lukewarm. Real friendship starts with intimacy with Jesus, and I forgot that. I was trying to get closer to other people who loved Jesus, and I focused them on them so much that ironically, we would move further apart or remain stagnant instead of getting closer. Another person and I could be hanging out, playing basketball, games, or going on a hike. We could even have some really cool conversations, but there would still be this gap that I felt was there. I realize now that this gap was there because I didn't have in common with them what they love most. Jesus. I knew I should have loved the Lord God with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength, but not always did I do that. So because I lost sight of what was more valuable, putting friendship with others before friendship with Jesus, ironically, I lost the joy of both. If anyone here can relate to this, abide in Jesus and remember your first love. If we love Christian community more than Christ himself, we are missing out on what's more valuable to our soul. And inevitably, the joy of Christian community will be lost. The second reason for why I felt this disconnection with other people who love Jesus was because I was invulnerable about my intimacy with him, if that makes sense. Some of us here love him very much and very well, but we don't share. It's love for Jesus, but not so much love for others, if that makes sense. I was that guy. Sometimes I didn't know how to share or that people cared enough to listen to me, and so I wouldn't share. But in these moments, I think I just need permission or someone to show me that they'd be willing to listen to me. Someone who'd be a real friend to me, who I could share the most vulnerable and exciting things with about where I was at with Jesus. There are probably some of us here who relate to this. And if you do, don't be shy. And share with those in your small group or a friend here at Chi Alpha or someone here in this room. I guarantee you there are people in this room who will listen and be that real friend for you. There's Matt. Matt will be that real friend for you. One of the most friendly guys I know. Other times, I didn't want to share because I was flat out the devil. Like, I thought I was better than the next person. I held my pride, like, really tight, and I would say things in my head, like, they won't understand, I would say things like, they won't understand, or I would think that Jesus had given me, like, some superior revelation just for myself. Sounds crazy, right? Y'all can laugh at me for that, because that's ridiculous. I was very distrustful, and I didn't think I needed others. And please don't fall to this trap. If you think Jesus has shown you something that someone else will not be able to understand, and that for some reason he is speaking to you only for you, snap out of it. What Jesus shares with one of us, he usually wants to encourage someone else with. One last thing that I thought at times that kept me from sharing. Was that I didn't think, I didn't think I needed to be a true friend to others. And I was very selfish and kept the joy that Jesus had given me and our friendship to myself, if that makes sense. And I wouldn't share with my brothers or sisters in Christ who loved him. I would just keep it all to me. Sometimes when we do this, we don't realize how selfish we are being. Paul says we as a community are a body. Some are hands, feet, noses, eyes, fingers, or even the pinky toe. A body does not operate at its full capacity if any of these parts are missing. So we need each other to be all that Christ has called us to be as a community. Not only that, but each of us are finite expressions of an infinite God. When we hide ourselves by not sharing what Jesus is doing in our lives, we will miss out on a more complete expression of who God is. When I see Joseph, I mean, you can tell now, he's like, that's good, you know, which I enjoy that. Makes me feel more comfortable. But when I see Joseph, I see a glimpse of the passion of God. My wife, I see the wisdom of God. In Taylor, our fearless leader, director, I see that God understands. He really does try and understand. In Justin, I see the compassion of God. And it only goes on forever. In each and every one of us, we can see something of God. So, all that said, our invulnerability about our friendship with Jesus will keep us from really being the brothers and sisters in Christ that a community of believers is meant to be. After Chi Alpha, during the spring semester, I think, it's my brother, David, and I, and we were kicking it back there in the booth where I like to be. And we were talking about something random, or I think we may have been doing two bars in pass, if you all know what I'm talking about. Busting flows, spitting bars, no? Okay. So our conversation, our bars, like, came to a lull. We're not good, we're terrible, but we have fun with it. And I started to observe all that was going on in the room. And I noticed that every person, and I mean every single person, was in dialogue with someone. There seemed to be genuine smiles on everyone's faces, genuine laughter, and a genuine love permeating the room. And y'all have been here, most of you I imagine, and y'all have experienced it. It's thick, like the presence of God, the love of Jesus is here, you know? And it's his presence blessing us with real experiences of him through each other. And so I brought it to my brother and David's attention, and we thank God for it. And later on another Thursday night, it was a similar environment, and the presence of Jesus permeating the room. And my brother said, this must be what heaven is like. This glimpse of heaven that my brother and I saw, I believe, began when real friendships were made. People loving Jesus and sharing him with each other. If we are lukewarm for Jesus, then how can we bring a glimpse of heaven to earth? And if we are not vulnerable about our love life with him, how can we have real experiences of him through each other? We have to strive to love Jesus and share him with each other. Cool? Now, obviously, because of what my brother said, at least some of us are not lukewarm and share a love for Jesus, right? Because this was in this room. And that's great. Praise God. Like, that is awesome. To have Jesus and to have real friendship is a glorious privilege and a gift. But I hope that we never forget how it was that we arrived at this glorious privilege and gift. Some of us grew up in the church and in Christian huddles. Yeah, I said it. Experiencing an abundance of Jesus and real friendship in those who also love him, or have been a part of this wonderful community that we call Chi Alpha. But we've forgotten that someone helped us, someone initiated, someone had compassion, someone showed us what real love for Jesus was. It wasn't just us. For me, it was Vadim. For you, it was probably your small group leader, pastor, parents, whoever it was, it doesn't matter. What matters is that we never forget that it was another person who showed us. It's not God's heart for us to keep him and our community to ourselves. It is not his heart. Jesus, who had real friendship with the Father, the Holy Spirit, the angels, and all the saints that have gone before us, left heaven so that we could have real friendship with him. When Jesus saw us, he had compassion for us because we were harassed and we were helpless, like someone without a true friend. Then he became our true friend. He was moved by compassion. He still is moved by compassion today. He longs for those who don't know him, and he wants to become their true friend. And it's in his wisdom that this happens through us. We should be willing to fight for real friendship with others, for friendship as it was meant to be, where intimacy with our Lord is the ultimate common understanding that we share with another person. In this room, our dorms, our homes, wherever it is, I hope we are making an effort to offer real friendship to others like Jesus offered to us. Do y'all agree with me on that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's what it means to be a Christian. Justin, you could come up. Now, some of you may not know Jesus intimately at all, and you might be saying, none of this pertains to me. If that's the case, I want to point us back to what we said earlier. That anything that we share with someone else that is not Jesus will lack depth and will not last. You can go back to it and back to it and back to it again and again, but it won't satisfy you. That means that what you call friendship, because you share something finite, will have a limit to it. It will not last and it will lack depth. You will become bored, frustrated, or possibly settle. Jesus is the greatest friend you could ever have. And if you haven't had, or if you don't know him and want to, you can experience this. All throughout Scripture, there is story after story where God is reaching out his hand to us, and then we reject him. And every time we rejected him, though, he didn't become more passive in his pursuit of friendship with us like we would have, and we do in similar cases, but he became more determined to become friends with us. To think about how long he's offered his hand in friendship with us while we continue to reject him and rebel against his world should make us feel remorseful. If you think hard enough, you will see that God has given you moments of clarity where you've heard his voice, or you've seen him at work in your circumstances, trying to fight for a friendship with you. Don't continue to ignore him. Tell him that you'll start today, whether here in a moment when we'll have some time to respond, or at home, it doesn't matter. I literally gave my life to Jesus in my high school parking lot, ditching class, and so you could do it anywhere, you know? It's a story for another time. So now, Justin's going to play a song. And I want us to think where we are in this picture of real friendship again. If for you it begins by first surrendering your life to Jesus, ask for his forgiveness for rejecting his hand in friendship for so long. Tell him about the specific things you've ran to instead of him. And because of what he's done on the cross, dying in your place, you can be sure that he will forgive you and begin a friendship with you. And then talk to your small group leader, talk to a person in here. I mean, that's what I'm here talking about, is friendship, something that we share. We get to share Jesus, you know? We'll get stoked if someone, we'll get stoked that something like that happens in your life and you're ready for that. Or if you've realized that you value Christian community more than Christ himself, talk to God and ask him to show you how much more valuable to your soul he is than anything else. If you are someone who is not vulnerable to your brothers or sisters about your friendship with Jesus, ask God to help you see why and to have the courage and humility to start being vulnerable. And sometimes you're hurt because of some things that people who call themselves Christians have done, or even a real Christian has made a mistake and blunder and they've hurt you. And still ask God why and confront those feelings and bring them to friends and work through that. The answer is not invulnerability. You still have to share, and you'll miss out if you don't. If you're the person who has Jesus and real friends, ask God who you might be able to reach out to help someone know Jesus for the first time and give someone the opportunity to have real friendship, like Vadim gave me the opportunity to have. All right, so go ahead and take some time, and I'll let us know when we're done. Cool?